Well, we're gonna get into the word today, guys, and I'm excited. Yeah, we have a lot to cover today. A little different, but we're gonna be getting into some things that are crucial, I believe, at this time. So last summer, I presented a 10 message series, and it was entitled "Restoring the Foundation." Some of you may remember that. In that series, I laid a foundation that this country was established on godly principles and values by our founding fathers who honored and revered God. I had overwhelming evidence to support that using I used our founding documents. I had research on some of our founding fathers, which revealed their strong faith, their commitment to God. And we even had photos, if you remember, from our vacation trip to Massachusetts of the war monuments from the Revolutionary War, with the names of the deceased on those monuments that were predominantly all biblical names. So there was a lot of evidence of our strong heritage and our foundation, our Christian foundation in the Americas here. And throughout that message series, I was also revealing how our godly foundation has steadily been being attacked. How we have seen erosion of our Christian values and principles. That church is what I believe that we've been seeing daily on our news programs with these violent protesters and riots in some of our major cities all across the land. That is evidence of the erosion of Christian values and principles. The looting, the burning down of buildings has nothing to do with justice for the death of George Floyd. The officer that was responsible for his death has been rightly charged with second-degree murder. And it has nothing to do with free speech, although I do believe that there are some genuine, peaceful protesters out there. I've seen some of the footage. I was especially touched by seeing a group of Black protesters who surrounded one of the policemen who somehow got separated from the rest of his team, and the mob wanted to hurt him. But those peaceful protesters, they stood around that officer like a wall of protection, and they would not allow the mob to hurt him. That was awesome to witness, awesome to see. And then, you know, the shooting of the one retired Black policeman and the looting and the burning of businesses that are owned by Black people has nothing to do with civil rights. According to those perpetrators, Black lives really don't matter. So, you know, what is all this craziness about? I believe it has all to do with the heart. It has to do with the depravity of the hearts of our people and the need for Christ. We have steadily been seeing a shifting of the moral, political, and social climate in our country. Actually, we've been seeing that over the years, and with a great eruption within the last several weeks. I made a statement during that 10-week message series, if you remember, and I said, if the foundation of the building building is weak or is compromised, if that foundation is destroyed, the structure collapses. I said, back then that our Christian foundation is being attacked. The foundation of this country is being attacked. That was just last summer, almost a year ago. Psalm 11, verse 3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? But why have we been seeing all of this? What's behind all this craziness? Does the Bible give us any answers about all of this? I believe it does. Turn to your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4. I want to see what's behind all of this. 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. John said that the spirit of Antichrist was already in the world. That was the first century. Today we're in the 21st century. The spirit of Antichrist is still at work today, and the one that I believe who's behind all the chaos that we've been experiencing. Anti is the Greek prefix, which means to be against. It means to be an adversary or to be opposed. So the Antichrist spirit is one who opposes Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says this. He says that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. I believe the mystery of lawlessness is referring to the Antichrist spirit that is already at work in the world. All this lawlessness that we see taking place in our large cities, I believe, is a result of the Antichrist spirit influencing people. And what's even been crazier is that our police officers have been directed to just let these violent people loot and continue to burn down businesses and cars and police precincts and police cars. They were told they couldn't do anything. They couldn't enforce the law. I was watching one of the news broadcasts one evening where a New York police officer was on the air asking for the president to please send the National Guard or military to help them because their hands were tied. They were told they could not enforce the law. The very thing, the very oath that they took to do. Why? You know, there are a lot of crazy things that we're seeing that we may have, you know, thought we'd never see. And I do believe the Antichrist spirit is behind it all. During that 10-week message series last year, I shared many things that indicated that there are a lot of cracks in our foundation. One of the examples I presented was the fact that our young people have been turning away from God because of the anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible teachings and philosophy that they've been inundated with since they entered public school. You may remember one of my examples, I used Mr. Surrey, who grew up in a Christian home, but when he got to a liberal college, his professors steered him away from God and taught him wrongly all about evolution theories that have absolutely no proof, not one speck of evidence about one species evolving into another. Also, I used another example of the erosion of our country's foundation when I shared a simple poll that was taken at random near a college where passersby were asked simple questions about our country, about its foundations, about its history. And the respondents could not answer simple questions. They couldn't answer them because they aren't being taught those things anymore. That revealed a dumbing down of our society, of our people. Why? Why, I ask myself. You know, my husband, Gary, is always searching for truth. And he says, you know, if you're watching, you know, the TV channels or you're reading the local newspaper to get all the truth about what's happening, you aren't getting the truth. So he digs into other more reliable sources and he shares those with me. It's good to have reliable sources for the facts so that we do know what the truth is and can come to accurate conclusions. For example, this past week, most of the news channels painted a rather negative narrative about President Trump going to see the St. John's Church that is located right there near the White House that had been vandalized by the rioters. Actually, they set it on fire. And so most reported that tear gas was thrown at the innocent, peaceful protesters. Even the bishop of that church reported that. She said she was outraged. But the Federalist, that's an online fact check magazine with a focus on culture, on politics, and on religion, they revealed the truth that there was no tear gas thrown because the actual video footage of that everyone could see showed that the police were not wearing any gas masks at all. The truth was that they were smoke canisters used to disperse the not so peaceful protesters who were throwing bricks that were supplied to them, frozen water bottles and caustic liquids at the police. And they tried to take the police officers' weapons from them. That's why those smoke bombs were released. That very liberal bishop there at the church said it was tear gas, but that wasn't true. She said she was also outraged that President Trump didn't call her first, you know, before coming to walking by her church that was vandalized. He came to see, you know, the damage. It was actually set on fire. I personally think that her outrage was misplaced. I think she should have been outraged that her church was set on fire. You know, there are a number of other points that I could make, but I think you get the picture. If you only listen to what the major news media reports, you could end up making wrong conclusions from false information. That false information was reported by every major media outlet nationally, and it went international without the reporters checking the facts. So, you know, we need reliable sources of truth. Especially during the times that we're facing. So I have to tell you that I've been questioning myself and God all along about these things that have been happening. You know, why the attack of our Christian foundation over these last several decades? Why the dumbing down of our people? Why this continuous onslaught to attack and pull down our president? You know, some examples, you know, from spending so much of our tax dollars and months of time to try to find some kind of Russian collusion and absolutely no evidence found. Another example, to try to find a law that he may have broken in a Ukrainian phone call, only to find that he didn't break any. Yet he was impeached by the House of Representatives and acquitted by the Senate. He didn't break any laws. You know, how we've seen Michael Flynn, you know, the national security advisor for the president, you know, saying that they're trying to bring him down. They have abundant evidence when it actually found out that they didn't have any evidence at all. And both sides release him. Yet a judge refuses to do that. You know, why do they try to impeach the president with whatever they can come up with, even if they have to fabricate it? Why? Why this pandemic at this time? And why did God reveal to the prophet Tracy Cook that the coronavirus was created in a lab? For what purpose? Why, when I saw and heard for the first time, you may know Dr. Anthony Fauci, when he was standing next to the president and he was telling us supposedly all he knows about this virus, why did something just not sit right with me? How did he know that there was going to be a pandemic during this presidential administration when he declared that back in January 2017? I found that out later. Why are we listening to Bill Gates talk about vaccines when his expertise is not in the medical field? Why has President Trump stopped our funding of the World Health Organization? And he's speaking against the UN. Why are we seeing these high radiation 5G towers go up all of a sudden all over the country? What's the connection? What's going on? I believe it's all connected somehow. I believe the Antichrist spirit is behind it all, but why? What's the goal? Why was this coronavirus used to shut down the world and destroy nations' economies? Why is Antifa, one of George Soros's militant groups that he finances, why are they involved in these riots and burnings? Why are they supplying bricks for the rioters? That's not peaceful by any stretch of the imagination. There's so much more I could share, you know, on that guy, but I'll save that. I have these and so many other questions, probably similar to some of yours. You know, what's the goal? What's the connection? Well, we do know this. The Antichrist spirit is working hard toward one goal. And that goal is to rule and to control the world's population. Now we know the book of Revelation in chapter 13 says that there will be an Antichrist who will appear as a world leader in the end times, and he will go against God. But the Apostle John told us in those scriptures that we looked at that before that happens, there is an Antichrist spirit at work in the world today. That spirit is actually paving the way for the Antichrist to come on the scene at some point, according to Revelation 13. I don't know that date and time, but God does. And that Antichrist will be empowered by Satan. The goal of the Antichrist is to control the world. So how is that plan going to come about? Well, I believe it will be through a new world order, a one world government controlling the world. The Bible doesn't use the phrase one world government, but it does provide ample evidence that helps us to draw the conclusion that that is absolutely the goal, and that the world will be under the rule of the Antichrist in the last days. So again, you can read Revelation chapter 13 on your own. But how does this all come together? I don't know the times. There are a number of moving parts here, and I believe that they all somehow are connected. But how will this even be possible? Well, I learned recently through some other news sources, other than the regular news channels and other than the local newspaper, that have presented very reliable information, that there is a plan in operation, and that it has even been discussed, already accepted by world leaders, national and international government agencies, and non-government agencies. I found out that it was crafted without our citizens being made aware of, without any reporting of the mainstream media. I learned that several billionaire globalists gathered in secret at various resorts around the world to come up with this plan. Since this plan includes me, I felt I wanted to know more about it. Recently, a Baptist pastor presented very detailed information about this to his congregation. I will proceed to share some of his findings along with the information that I have researched. I don't have time to share everything, but I do want to at least make you aware of it. You may choose to do further research yourself, or just park the information for later. But I feel it's necessary to share this information because I didn't know anything about it before. And this plan includes you and me. The plan has already been discussed, already accepted without our input, and yet it is geared to affect everyone in the world. The plan is no longer hidden. It is available to see yourself through the internet. You can look it up yourself. The plan is called Agenda 2030. The plan was accepted and began to be implemented in 2015. You can research it by putting 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development in your search area. And you'll be able to read what the goals are, or you can just go on the United Nations website. It'll be there. It's a 40-page document that is filled with wonderful sounding plans to create a utopia for all mankind. It includes 59 paragraphs with 17 sustainable goals and 169 targets. And it sounds wonderful when you read it. This plan is it's set in motion to fix all of our problems in the world by 2030. It was actually launched in 2015, and they expect to have the goals completed by 2020, as long as all the people of the world unite and do as they're told. By the way, the UN will be key in this plan, and they'll need about $5 to $7 trillion so they can orchestrate the plan to create a utopia or a little bit of heaven on Earth. The heads of state and governments and high UN representatives met at the UN headquarters in New York from September 25th to the 27th in 2015 to begin to implement this plan. They had been working on it for quite a while, though, before that. They use the word sustainable because they have determined that our current world is unsustainable. They say we have too many people. We're polluting the land, the air, the water. We're destroying the planet. We produce too much waste. And in paragraph 50 of the 2030 agenda, we are warned that we could be the last generation that has a chance to save the planet. You may have heard comments like, you know, the world is gonna end in 12 years if we don't save it. We can't have cows, we can't have airplanes. So the goals are to control people and the planet. They don't say that in quite so many terms. The goals are presented in a way that would have the reader believe that this is all good and it's all wonderful. They're thinking about me. For instance, you know, we will get a lot of free stuff with this agenda. Free food, free education, free healthcare, free reproductive care, which is birth control and abortion. Freedom from poverty, you know, basic income. All this is free to everyone equally. That the 2030 agreement was signed by 193 leaders, including communists, socialists, Islamists, and governments from all around the world. Pope Francis even approved of the 2030 agenda, and he hailed it as an important sign of hope. Former President Obama also agreed, saying that this was one of the smartest investments that we could make for our future. The only problem is this agenda is really socialism. And socialism has never worked. Gary shared the details in several messages that he shared with our congregation when he spoke about, you know, the pilgrims who settled here in 1620. Socialism didn't work for them. That was a small scale. They nearly starved to death until they changed the plan to a free market system. Then they survived and flourished. We have seen how socialism has not worked in Russia, China, and even more recently, Venezuela. People were without food. Many starved to death. The Venezuelans who voted in the socialist leader, they've been leaving by the millions, you know, trying to get out of their country, many trying to get to America. Why? Because they found out that socialism doesn't work. It sounds good, but it doesn't work. And now these globalists and the UN want to force it on a much larger scale, the world, by creating a plan that has the capability of leading us into a one-world government. While everything may sound so wonderful in the 2030 agenda, there are some things that are concerning. First of all, this 2030 agenda is designed to control all people on the earth. They say no one left behind. That happens to be the same agenda of the Antichrist spirit, to control the world. Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." The 2030 agenda makes no mention of God at all. But in paragraph 59, it mentions Mother Earth. God told Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:28, he said, be fruit, be fruitful and multiply. Agenda 2030 is about depopulating the earth, not increasing population. It provides for free reproductive care, which would be birth control and abortion, which is anti-God. More on depopulation in a moment, but there are a number of areas in this plan that are very questionable. One of the most concerning is the digital ID that is planned to control the population. Bill Gates and his organization are very much involved with this. Their work for a decade or more on tying vaccinations to our identification is part of the 2030 agenda. The future digital identity will very likely be necessary for people to engage in activities that currently don't require ID for. The digital ID scheme is actually about controlling people and their behavior. A first step toward implementing a vaccine-based ID system is conditioning people to accept the idea that they will need to prove their vaccination and health status before being allowed by government to engage in activities. Enter COVID-19. This COVID-19 appeared at just this time in history. And people have been instilled with extreme levels of fear and would be more receptive to this kind of ID acceptance. The Gates Foundation, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Margaret Chan, who's the former head of the WHO, the World Health Organization, and others, they're working on creating a global vaccine action plan that would tie in with the digital ID. Bill Gates has been working in research in encoding health and identity data into a quantum dot. It's a quantum dot-based system that would be embedded in the skin. The ID would include legal identity and birth registration for everyone on the planet. This would offer a level of control over people like never before possible. If Gates achieves this, it's possible that Americans won't be able to shop, work, travel, or do anything else without that vaccine health ID, which would almost certainly end up in an injectable form. It would be a means of tracking personal activity, limiting and regulating access and behavior. These plans continue to be made behind closed doors. That certainly answered my questions about Gates's involvement in all of this. You know, that reminds me so much of Revelation 13:16, where it says, "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave." Now, remember, no one's left out. "He causes them to receive a mark on their right hand or on the forehead." This ID scheme smells to me an awful lot like possibly the mark of the beast. We need to be in prayer about that. The socialists' agenda is all about control. The globalists' agenda is all about control. The Antichrist's agenda is all about control. There is much control in the 2030 agenda. In goal number three of that agenda, it talks about free healthcare for everybody in the world. And this is connected to the ID information system that Bill Gates is proposing. There are only three statements in that whole agenda that mention anything about vaccines or epidemics. I want you to think about that. Only three of all those 17 goals and 169 targets. But look at the impact those three sentences have had on all of us during this COVID-19. The World Health Organization had governments all around the world social distancing, sheltering in place, businesses closed, and the collapsing of economies. Incidentally, there is another earlier agenda that they have, and it's called Agenda 21. It kind of bleeds into Agenda 2030. I found that in my research. Most people are unaware of these UN agendas, and they affect every one of us. I didn't know about it till this week. Agenda 21 is very similar to Agenda 2030. It's about land control and people control. You can look it up on your computer. The goal is to save the planet, and they will tell us how to do it. One idea that is repetitive in both agendas is that we have too many people on this planet. Bill Gates shared his view about how to help fix that by vaccinations and other ways at a lecture that he gave in 2010. He said this, and I will quote him. This is also easily accessed yourself. He said this: "First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. So Gates is tying vaccines to population control. Think about that one. And I didn't see anywhere in those goals of the 2030 agenda about America becoming great again. No, everyone must be equal. That is socialism, not a free market system. I don't think the UN leadership wants four more years of Donald Trump. He doesn't fit their plan. In fact, Donald Trump is the only one who's been hindering their plan. He's been pulling back finances, and he's been speaking against the UN and the World Health Organization. He's been coming against the New World Order. And a lot of people don't like that. But God does. There's a whole lot more that I could share about this 2030 agenda, but I'll let you to research that on your own if you care to. But this agenda connects a lot of dots for me. It connects all the players that I questioned. And time will tell the impact that it has on humanity, good or bad. This agenda affects every person on the planet, and we need to know about it. So what are we to do in this decade? I do believe that we'll be in for some real interesting times. But here's the good news. God's already there. He is ever present. I read the end of the book. We win. I do believe we need to pray for wisdom and use it. We need to read our Bibles, keep declaring his word over us, over our nation. Seek guidance from the Lord. He will see us through. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. In Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13, it says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, he who keeps on loving, he who keeps on worshiping God, he shall be saved." And one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And he will be with us, never leave us nor forsake us. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I will turn this over to Pastor Ralph. So Heavenly Father, I pray in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. I thank you for your love for us. You are all powerful, all knowing, always present with us. You said in your word that we could come to you and ask when we have a need, and you will answer. So we thank you, Father, that as each of us seek your wisdom and your guidance, you lead us through every trial and every tribulation. We put our trust in you. I will say of you, Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God. In you, we will trust. You protect us. No plague, no evil can come near us. You surround us with your angels to keep us safe. You deliver us and you answer when we call upon you. You are with us in trouble and you satisfy us with long life. And you show us your salvation. None of any of this has taken you by surprise, Lord. And we just trust you through it all. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.